tackling the issues that shape our state. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Here we go again with the fake news media. Yesterday we were talking about how the liberal Lee newspapers refused to cover the story, but then they're covering for the subject of the story now. They don't want to cover the news, but they want to fake the news several days later. So, yeah, you had this nutty professor who's not even an American citizen, who's not even a Montanan, who works at Montana State University Northern, and she was celebrating the assassination of Charlie Kirk. And now the fake news liberal media is trying to make her look like the victim several days after the fact. They refused to cover the nutty professor's comments celebrating a political terrorist assassination on American soil. But now, several days later, they want to make her look like the victim, and they want to cover for her instead of cover her outrageous comments. But I mentioned the Liberal Lee newspapers several days late covering this story yesterday on the show, and then later in the morning, I saw that the KTVQ television in Billings finally decided to cover this story. Oh, wait, no, they didn't cover the story. They copy and pasted. They've got a whole team of reporters, and they've got some good reporters, by the way. They've got a whole team of reporters. No, they didn't have one of their reporters cover this Montana story. They didn't even bother to have KRTV cover the story since Haver's in their AO. KRTV, hats off to them. They covered the story when the news actually happened. And KTVQ didn't want to talk about that then, didn't want to share that on their website then, as far as I could tell. Oh, but now several days later, they refused to even use one of their own fellow Montana Television Network news reporters who did the story about this nutty professor several days ago from KRTV in Great Falls refused to use that story. But then when they finally decide to put something on their website, it's copy and pasted from a Democrat Party blog that's already been called out as being fake news. We've documented the funding. We've documented how even, you know, liberal-leaning news outlets like Axios, there's been Harvard studies, OpenSecrets.org has called out this fake news Democrat Party blog for being fake news. And yet KTVQ television on their website and probably in some of their newscasts still uses a Democrat blog as a primary news source. It is insane.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With lots of sunshine across the area for today, we're looking at high temperature readings around 73 in Bozeman to around 80 in the Billings area. For tonight, with clear skies, temperatures head back in the mid-40s to around 50. And then the outlook into the weekend does call for more sunny, mild weather. Highs around 80 to 83, clear into Saturday night. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Securing America.
The recent shooting in an ICE facility in Dallas and Charlie Kirk's assassination earlier this month are increasing concerns about politically motivated violence. Assistant DHS Secretary Trisha McLaughlin tells Fox there has been a 1,000% increase in assaults against law enforcement officers.
The political violence in this country must come to an end before there's further bloodshed.
ICE Acting Director Todd Lyons tells Fox opponents have to be more careful with their rhetoric.
Calling for people to actively resist us. Elected officials shouldn't do that.
Former FBI Assistant Director Chris Swecker told Fox recent events do have an impact on the general public.
My mind goes to parades and events, public events, where there's a lot of people gathered around.
He says people should follow the familiar refrain, if you see something, say something, adding,
we're not saying don't go out your front door. What we're saying is be hyper aware of your surroundings.
Kip Mirewski, Fox News.
Man, I can't believe we are already heading into the month of October. What's coming up on Friday, the last Friday in September? We got nothing on the schedule for Friday's Montana Talks, but that's a good thing because that means we got more time for you to talk, more time for you to jump in on the conversation, more time for you to be heard all across Montana with Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk. Freedom Friday, open lines Friday, phone lines are open for you. Catch us statewide 9 to 10 right here.
Hi.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana, statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, man, it must be 6-something in the morning here. So with my new little equipment set up here, I can't hear the bumper music. Well, I can, but if I can hear the bumper music, I can't hear myself talking. And so, you know, being a radio guy, you assume if you can't hear yourself in your headset that you are not on the air, that you are not talking. And so, man, I totally wrapped up a minute early there heading into the first break of the morning. And I was like, man, did I lose a connection with the studio? What's going on here? And I was like, oh, no, you still had a minute more to talk. At least Caden's on it this morning, even if I'm still needing to drink some more coffee apparently here this morning. All right, let's see. All right, are you guys familiar with the Colonial Apartments in Billings? I know some of our listeners in Bozeman and Butte are like, what's the Colonial Apartments? Sounds nice. Well... Oh, man. Anyway, I just had a random thought yesterday morning, and I never posted about it. I never mentioned it, and so it came up again, and I thought, you know what? Somebody – I was reading these news stories. Apparently, Tom Lutie has a big expose on some of the big infighting that took place during the Montana Democrat Party's recent convention in Livingston. So Tom Lutie's got this big expose, apparently. Apparently, it almost got violent. It got a little physical. And so I was reading this, and I was like, man, you know what? The Montana Democrat Party is such a train wreck right now. Somebody should gift them. I wonder if their fundraising is hurting or not, too, by the way. But I was just thinking, you know what? Somebody should – we should do a nice thing for the Montana Democrat Party. We should gift them the Colonial Apartments in Billings, Montana, to be the new headquarters of the Montana Democrat Party. Wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't that be nice? We should gift them. Wouldn't it be very, you know, oh so fitting and symbolic as well? So the Colonial Apartments, for you guys out there who may not be familiar with it, like, think of this big old dilapidated building, kind of a White House looking thing that's just got boarded up windows. It's constantly the subject. I mean, the crime and everything, the drugs, et cetera, so bad in that area that city officials have basically been trying to figure out how they just shut this place down, how they just demolished the place, essentially. And so anyway, you know, it's always in the news. And then again, so is the train wreck of the Montana Democrat Party in the news here recently as well. So it's like, there you go. There's your new Montana Democrat Party headquarters. Anyway, I posted that on X.com/Aaron Flint and Facebook.com/Flint Report. Earlier this morning, and David Graham, is that Doc? I think that's a doctor. David Graham commented when I said somebody should gift the Colonial Apartments in Billings to be the new Montana Democrat Party headquarters. He says, isn't it already? Fair point. I mean, you know, it's just look at New York City. But you don't have to look at New York City. You can look at parts of Montana and blue-run cities. And then the Democrat Party always going soft on these criminals. Look at who their judicial candidate is once again. The Democrats are propping up a far-left candidate for Montana Supreme Court with this Judge Amy Eddy, who is soft on crime, soft on criminals, and a radical environmentalist at that, which is why it's so important that folks do everything they can to rally around Judge Dan Wilson out of the Flathead. But, you don't have to look at New York City to see, you know, the results and the chaos that has ensued because of this lack of, because of this, you know, soft on crime policies coming from the Democrat Party. But let's look at New York City. Did you guys see this? So Kamala Harris, as she's out there doing her book tour, apparently, I think Rachel Maddow was, well, I won't tell you what Rachel Maddow said because I think you'll hear it here in a second. It's kind of funny the way that Rachel Maddow characterizes this commie Mamdani. And then you get this lackluster endorsement from Kamala Harris. So Rachel Maddow asked Kamala Harris if she would be endorsing the commie Mamdani, my words, not her words, in the New York City mayoral race. Anyway, listen to what she had to say. And then I think Lawrence Jones weighs in with a guest on Fox and Friends. This was from yesterday morning.
Arguably the fastest rising star right now in Democratic politics is Zohran Mamdani.
Look, as far as I'm concerned, he's the Democratic nominee and he should be supported.
Do you endorse his candidacy?
I support the Democrat in the race.
Sure.
Former Vice President Kamala Harris called Socialist NYC mayoral candidate Zohran Mamdani yesterday after that lackluster endorsement. Mamdani says, quote, "We discussed the affordability agenda that I ran on and the importance of joy amidst the struggle of our politics." Fox News contributor Mark Thiessen joins us now. Mark, it's all about joy, even though she lost. But it does look like he's going to win, judging by new Fox News polling. He's at 47%. Andrew Cuomo is at 29%, Slee was at 11%, and Adams, I mean, which has been a shocker, is just at 7%, the incumbent. What do you make of all of this?
Well, first of all, it's not about joy, it's about socialism. That's what they're all about. And, you know, we think of Kamala Harris as, you know, we remember her as probably the dumbest person ever to run, be a major party nominee. She was also the most left-wing. She supported the entire Democratic Socialist agenda, from Medicare for All to the Green New Deal to banning fracking to defunding the police. So, you know, it's not a surprise that a Marxist like Zohran Mamdani likes her and wants and appreciates her endorsement. But, you know, the only reason he's going to win this race is because he's going to win a plurality over a divided field.
All right, we'll hold it right there. Back with your calls and more next.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. Security concerns are freaking out lawmakers from both sides of the aisle in the aftermath of the assassination of Charlie Kirk. Lawmakers feel there's little they or law enforcement can do, especially when they are so exposed to the public. Democratic Arizona Senator Mark Kelly thinks about this after his wife, former Arizona Representative Gabby Giffords, nearly died during a shooting at a supermarket in 2011. Minnesota Democrat Kelly Morrison says the Kirk killing has what she calls a chilling effect on the willingness of people to run for office. U.S. Capitol Police say they are on pace in 2025 to work through nearly 14,000 threat assessment cases. The force recorded just under 9,500 cases last year. Some lawmakers and leadership get a special Capitol Police detail, but most rank and file members do not. House Speaker Mike Johnson says that offering details for every single member is simply impossible given the enormous cost. Capitol security intensified after a gunman killed two members of the Capitol Police in 1998, and then there was 9/11. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August. Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast's like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe.
Snakes, zombies, sharks, heights, speaking in public. The list of fears is endless. But while you're clutching your blanket in the dark, wondering if that sound in the hall was actually a footstep, the real danger is in your hand, when you're behind the wheel. And while you might think a great white shark is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
It's time for the Daybreak Ag Report from the Western Ag Network.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Russell Nemitz. Well, recognizing that U.S. agriculture is under threat, this week in Kansas City, Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins said that farming's future couldn't be brighter and even laid out an agenda for supporting crop producers while teasing plans to rebuild the U.S. cattle herd. In an immediate announcement, she said the final $2 billion under the Emergency Commodity Assistance Program, or ECAP, will be delivered within a week to producers.
As producers continue to face market volatility, the ECAP program has helped them navigate the economic challenges faced in 2024, hopefully making it slightly easier to secure financing for the next crop year.
Now, the secretary spoke Thursday at the Ag Outlook Forum and placed a large share of the blame for the current economic challenges in rural America on the Biden administration. She also clarified plans announced last weekend to rebuild the U.S. cattle supply.
We are developing a robust plan to revitalize and diversify the U.S. beef industry for producers, processors, and consumers. We will provide more details at a rollout in mid-October. Our plan will focus on opening up more working lands, expanding risk mitigation tools for our beef cattle industry.
However, she made it very clear that these incentives wouldn't include payments to cattle producers to help buy heifers to breed and rebuild their cow herds. Stay with us. We'll have more ag news right after this.
Montana harvest season is here, and so is wildfire season. One spark from hot equipment, a bearing, or a piece of metal can ignite a fire that spreads fast. Before you head to the field, check and clean your equipment. Keep a water source and extinguisher close, and avoid operating during the hottest, driest parts of the day. Your simple precautions can prevent a costly wildfire. This message is brought to you by the Montana DNRC, protecting our lands and communities.
Ranchers get real tools to grow your operation and keep it thriving by attending the Expanding Markets Conference coming up September 30th through October 2nd in Helena. It isn't just talk either. It's hands-on work, sessions with market buyers, industry experts like Ray Archuleta, and fellow ranchers who are making regenerative grazing pay. Learn how to capture premiums, build connections, and discover new opportunities. Plus a tour of the Mannix Ranch to see regenerative practices in action. Less talk, more action. Register at WesternSustainabilityExchange.org. Well, in recent years, the beef on dairy segment has certainly undergone significant changes, illustrating a growing confidence, they say, among cattle producers as well as market stakeholders. According to Lawrence Williams, dairy beef cross development lead at Purina, beef on dairy calf prices averaged about $650 3 years ago, compared to today's average price of $1,400 now for day-old beef on dairy calves. What a difference a few years makes. And finally this morning, hey, tomorrow, we invite you to join us in Bozeman for the Montana State University 2025 Homecoming Parade. In fact, Lane Nordland and I will actually be broadcasting live starting at 9 a.m. from the famous Rocking Our Bar there in downtown Bozeman. It's going to be a fun couple of hours featuring interviews with special guests, some fun food and recipe features we've put together, lots of prizes, and of course, letting folks at home see the parade itself if they can't be with us in person. And to do that, you can watch the parade live and our broadcast live by visiting our Western Ag Network Facebook and YouTube pages. Again, it's tomorrow morning starting at 9 a.m. For the Western Ag Network, I'm Russell Nemitz.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, that'll be a fun show that Russell just talked about there, broadcasting live from the Rockin' R Bar in Bozeman. I was at, you know, when I was in Ronan on Sunday afternoon, I actually talked about being at the Rockin' R for our live show the day after the November elections, the morning after the November elections, because basically, if you guys were there in Bozeman at the Armory Hotel when on the election night victory party for the Montana Republicans, including, of course, Senator Tim Sheehy, we knew Sheehy had the race won hours before they finally called the race. But, you know, they just couldn't help themselves. They just couldn't They just couldn't call the race for Senator Tim Sheehy. They just refused to admit it, so they held off as long as they could. Finally, what was it, like 2:30 in the morning? I think it was 2:30 in the morning, and I'd been up since 3:30 in the morning the day prior. Actually, I think I woke up early because it was Election Day. It worked up even earlier than that, right? And I remember it was like 2:30 in the morning, and everybody's like, okay, are they going to call this freaking race or not? I mean, give me a break. People got to work the next day. I got a show to do in like 3.5 hours, for Pete's sake. And so, yeah, finally at 2:30, they finally called the race, or maybe they hadn't even called the race yet. And Sheehy's campaign's like, okay, this is absurd. Get up there. Give your victory speech. And he gets up there, gives his victory speech, and what a great one it was. But then I was like, okay, I got this nice hotel room in Bozeman. I guess I'll use it for like, you know, an hour and a half, go get a little nap in, and then boom, we're ready to roll live from the Rockin' R. So yeah, what a show that was. But what I mentioned on Sunday, I think Tim and Savage, if he's listening already this morning, I think, wasn't it you and I, weren't we talking off air before the show got up and running, or during one of the commercial breaks? We ended up having a ton of folks come down and join us for the show. Attorney General Austin Knutson came down, and some others. But I feel like you and I were talking off air, and that's what prompted a couple of the bartenders from the Rockin' R to say, hey, guys, we got to tell you, these young people, these young people, they are not the woke, you know, millennial type. These young people are pushing back. They are sick of this nonsense, the radical, far left woke agenda. They had to suffer through all the COVID stupidity, the lockdowns and the mandates. And he's like, I'll tell you what, these young people are big time going in the other direction. And so I talked about that back in Glendive at the Dawson County Lincoln Reagan dinner back in March, and I shared numbers, and I shared a post on X by the one and only Charlie Kirk back then. And so anyway, that's part of what we talked about on Sunday in Ronan, was, you know, the Rockin' R and young people and Charlie Kirk, and how, okay, if you thought there was a massive push towards a pro-freedom agenda, towards an American foundational principles agenda like Charlie Kirk was advocating for, if you thought there were a lot of young people pushing in that direction before, now you can multiply it several times over, given the events over the past 2 weeks. All right, anyway, wasn't the topic I planned on talking about, but I couldn't resist. I heard Russell talking about their Rockin' R show and had to talk about big news that I was going to start with there after the Farm and Ranch report. Yesterday, if you guys caught the show in the 7 o'clock hour, David Noble was taking the Thursday morning off. He typically joins us every Thursday in the 7 o'clock hour. So I thought, you know what, we still got to have a special guest join us, because that's part of the fun of the 7 o'clock hour on Thursday. So we called in, we put the bat signal up, and the Joker showed up for us, John Jackson, the Joker from X. And, you know, oftentimes when I have John on the show, I'm like, okay, John, what do you want to talk about? Where do you want to start this morning? Because we never really plan this out. We just have a conversation, right? And yesterday I was like, okay, John, I know what story you're going to want to start with. I know what story you're going to want to talk about. And I told him I had a Daily Caller story in front of me. And then when I got to John, I said, all right, John, what's the story you want to talk about? And he's like, oh, you know what it is. The headline that I had in front of me yesterday was, Stephen Miller says multiple charges could be coming for James Comey. And then later in the day yesterday, that's exactly the news that broke, exactly the news that came out. I shared a post on Truth Social first I shared the breaking news update from Fox News that disgraced former FBI Director James Comey is now indicted. Shared that on social media the moment I heard the news later in the day yesterday. And then, a few minutes later, or hour or two later, President Trump weighing in with a Truth Social post saying this: justice in America, one of the worst human beings this country has ever been exposed to, is James Comey, the former corrupt head of the FBI. Today he was indicted by a grand jury on 2 felony counts for various illegal and unlawful acts. He has been so bad for our country for so long, and is now at the beginning of being held responsible for his crimes against our nation. And then the president concluded his Truth Social post by saying, make America great again. And I would just add, I hope this is just the start of the accountability process for a long line of individuals who abuse their positions of power to weaponize the government, not just against the president of the United States, but against we the people. Repeatedly, they abuse their positions of power. And if they are never held accountable for their abuse of power, how can we truly fix this country? How can we truly have confidence in our government, in fairness, in justice, and accountability? I mean, it's frankly, it's no different than what the Democrats are doing with the criminals on the streets. It's tyranny for we the people, and it's anarchy for the criminals that they always want to put back out on the streets. Same thing with these deep state corrupt bureaucrats like James Comey. It's anarchy for them. They abuse their positions of power, do whatever they want to do, but then they weaponize the government against peaceful, law-abiding citizens with fake, phony, trumped-up charges, like the fake, phony, trumped-up charges that were facing Trump. All right, phone lines are open for you. Back right after this.
Renting is now hiring.
A message from FireSafe Montana. With the large number of homes being built in the wildland urban interface, it is the responsibility of the homeowner to use ignition-resistant materials. Many buildings in a wildfire are burned from the roof down. Consider using a metal or asphalt roofing material. The siding of a home is subject to extremely high heat during a fire. Look into the use of stone, stucco, or cement board. Contact FireSafe Montana for more information. This message brought to you by FireSafe Montana and aired by the Montana Broadcasters Association.
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Yeah, speaking of John Jackson, the Joker from X, I just saw a post that he shared here about 20 minutes ago. He said, this is January of 2021, 4 months after Comey told his latest lies under oath to Congress, lecturing us all not only about the importance of telling the truth under oath, but how important it is for law enforcement to pursue those who don't. And then John said this, as I said on the show yesterday with Aaron Flint, this guy, James Comey, would fire and prosecute you for a tenth of what he himself actually did. All right, we've got Mike Davis from the Article 3 Project. We've got Senator Lindsey Graham all weighing in on the Comey indictment. But first, I think Jesse Waters put together a nice little scene setter for us.
James Comey just became the first FBI director to face criminal charges. Just moments ago, the Department of Justice announced a Virginia grand jury indicted James Comey on two charges for obstruction and for making a false statement to Congress. Here's the moment when Comey got caught.
Mr. McCabe, who works for you, has publicly and repeatedly stated that he leaked information to the Wall Street Journal and that you were directly aware of it and that you directly authorized it.
I can only speak to my testimony. I stand by what the testimony you summarized that I gave in May of 2017.
So your testimony is you've never authorized anyone to leak.
I'm not going to characterize Andy's testimony, but mine is the same today.
No one's above the law, and lying to Congress is a crime. And now he's facing up to 5 years in prison. Comey should have known this would have caught up to him. He knew Hillary planted the Russia hoax, and he used the hoax to spy on the Trump campaign. He used undercover agents and doctored evidence. After Trump won, Comey tried to take him down from the inside, but got caught. He's accused of authorizing his dirty number two, Andy McCabe, to leak to the press. That's what he lied to Congress about. And this obstructed the congressional investigation and tore our country to pieces. Now, after he got fired, he confessed to leaking documents to a reporter to trigger a special counsel in order to impeach Trump.
Did you show copies of your memos to anyone outside of the Department of Justice?
Yes.
And to whom did you show copies?
I asked
president tweeted on Friday after I got fired that I better hope there's not tapes. I woke up in the middle of the night on Monday night because it didn't dawn on me originally that there might be corroboration for our conversation. There might be a tape. And my judgment was I needed to get that out into the public square. And so I asked a friend of mine to share the content of the memo with a reporter. Didn't do it myself for a variety of reasons, but I asked him to because I thought that might prompt the appointment of a special counsel. And so I asked a close friend of mine to do it.
Comey was sniffed out staging a coup and framing the president as a traitor, a Russian operative, then leaking and lying to Congress about his operations. These are actual crimes. Remember, they had to make up crimes to charge Trump.
Great point. That's why I wanted to keep that one going a little bit longer than normal there, because that was a perfect final point, a good point. Yeah, although the rest of the monologue was great as well, but let's hold it right there. Now, let's turn to Article 3 Project, Mike Davis, former Supreme Court Justice Clerk. I think he also worked on Capitol Hill in the Judiciary Committee, if I'm not mistaken, as well. But he weighed in. He was also on Jesse Waters' program last night. Let me see. Yeah, here we go. Here it is. He was asked by Waters how easy this case will be to prosecute.
Well, I don't know if any case is easy, particularly in the Eastern District of Virginia that's loaded up with Democrats, including a lot of government workers. But I would say this, this is a clear-cut case if the jury follows the evidence of false statements provided to the Senate Judiciary Committee by FBI Director James Comey and obstruction of a congressional investigation. The grand jury agreed. The grand jury returned indictments on those two counts. I want to congratulate Attorney General Pam Bondi and Todd Blanche, the Deputy Attorney General, and FBI Director Kash Patel and Lindsay in the Eastern District of Virginia for putting together this case. And I think this is the beginning of the accountability and certainly not the end for these lawfare Democrats that politicized and weaponized law enforcement and intel agencies to take out their political opponent, Donald Trump, and to help their political ally, Hillary Clinton. Justice is definitely coming.
All right, so they're going to say this is the revenge tour. And what is Comey going to say? I didn't authorize anybody to leak. I never leaked. I never lied about it. He's on tape.
All right. By the way, I got a what they call it a TCN morning note from the Tucker Carlson Network here. He writes this in his kind of morning note that comes out from the Tucker Carlson program. The case stems from a 2017 incident when Comey showed a friend seven memos documenting his private conversations with President Trump. The friend, Columbia Law professor Daniel Richmond, then leaked their details to the New York Times, which led to the appointment of Robert Mueller. Comey told Congress that he did not authorize anyone to disclose the memos to the media 3 years later, stating, quote, I had no idea he was going to do that. Tucker Carlson then says this, Russia-obsessed neocons used the fake collusion narrative to whip up anti-Putin hate and justify America's involvement in the prolonged Ukraine war. Their recklessness has caused hundreds of thousands of deaths. You guys remember, of course, who else took part in this coup against the President of the United States, Donald J. Trump? What was his name? Colonel Cupcake. Alexander Vindman. A Ukrainian-American took part in the coup attempt against Donald J. Trump that then, you know, in part paved the way for Joe Biden, which then in part paved the way for what? The war in Ukraine and the invasion of Ukraine. Colonel Cupcake, Alexander Vindman, and James Comey, how many deaths are they partially responsible for? How many thousands a day are killed in Ukraine? And if Donald Trump had been president of the United States, that war never would have started in the first place. Let's see. Let's go next. Where's Lindsey Graham at? Lindsey Graham was on with Sean Hannity. Can't remember if Hannity opens this up or if it's Senator Lindsey Graham talking about the Comey news first, but let's roll it.
Yeah, I hope so. He said he knew there would be a call standing up to Trump. Everybody who stands up to Trump gets cheered on as a hero. Every accusation against Trump that's bad for him is assumed to be true. The question is there any cost to people trying to destroy President Trump's presidency, his personal life? Is there any cost in this country for lying to a court to push a warrant that you know is really not accurate? So here's the question. Everybody answered my question who signed the warrant application. If you knew then what you know now, would you sign the warrant application? They all said no. Now, why did they say no? Because me and you and a bunch of other people proved it to be just complete BS. There was not a reliable dossier. It was hearsay. It was bar talk. It was made up garbage by people associated with the Clinton campaign. The question for me, and I hope for the country, did you know something and you didn't tell the court, and you should have? Did you know when you were signing the warrant application that the FBI had interviewed the man responsible for the information provided to Christopher Steele, the Russian guy, that he said it was all bar talk, not reliable hearsay, and it shouldn't be used in a legal proceeding?
Look at all the harm that they caused to this country. Look at the chaos that they paved the way for. We talked about the war in Ukraine. Look at the chaos that they pushed on this country with the way they wanted to respond to COVID-19. Look at the chaos they've pushed with this transgender agenda. Look at the chaos they have pushed by attacking the brave men and women that work for ICE and federal law enforcement. I mean, all the damage they have caused to this country. All right, I got a couple of great Montana companies I want to tell you about. Which one do I tell you about first? They kind of go hand in hand together. You know, later I'll tell you about Reminis Angus Ranch, some good Montana beef. But that actually ties in with another great company I want to tell you about, Billings Last Diet. Because if you want to lose weight and you want to change your lifestyle and you want to maintain that healthy lifestyle, Montana beef is a great thing to incorporate into your diet, to make as a staple of your diet. Because Billings Last Diet, for those of you who don't know, it's an ideal protein-based program. So they want you to get the ideal amount of protein in your daily diet so that you burn fat but maintain your muscle mass. Some of these shots and these injections that people are doing right now, oh, you might lose weight, but you also might be destroying your body in the process, destroying your muscle mass, destroying your bone density with other health effects. This is the healthy way to lose weight and to keep it off. BillingsLastDiet.com, BillingsLastDiet.com, or give them a call, 406-294-6751, and they got an incredible remote option for folks elsewhere across the state, too.
Turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
Former FBI Director James Comey, or as he likes to describe himself, Mr. Higher Honor, has been indicted by a federal grand jury in Virginia. Comey is now facing two charges, obstruction of a congressional proceeding and lying to Congress. If he is convicted, he will face 5 years in prison on each count. This is going to have a cascading effect. The same James Comey that protected Hillary Clinton and looked the other way, he said no reasonable prosecutor would prosecute. Attorney General Pam Bondi writing on X, quote, no one is above the law. Today's indictment reflects this Department of Justice's commitment to holding those who abuse positions of power accountable for misleading the American people.
Check out the Sean Hannity radio show later today, right here.
When was the last time you bragged about your wireless company? Like, did you know my wireless company gave away 1,000 American flags to deserving veterans and forgave $10 million in veterans' debt? Did you know that my wireless company raised almost $500,000 to prevent vet suicide? In other words, when your wireless company is pure talk, there's a whole lot to brag about. You can even brag about the coverage you get with pure talk. They use the same 5G network, the same cell towers as all the big carriers. And guess what? The average family saves over $1,000 a year. You can get unlimited talk and text, plenty of data, $25 a month. That's saving everybody a fortune. Make the switch. It's simple, fast, easy. Just dial #250, say the keyword, save now. Do it now. You save an additional 50% off your first month. That's #250, keyword, save now from our friends at Pure Talk.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With lots of sunshine across the area for today, we're looking at high temperature readings around 73 in Bozeman to around 80 in the Billings area. For tonight, with clear skies, temperatures head back in the mid-40s to around 50. And then the outlook into the weekend does call for more sunny, mild weather. Highs around 80 to 83, clear into Saturday night. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly.
Hey, I'll tell you what, this is an incredible honor. Coming up on Saturday night, I have the honor of being inducted into the Montana Pro Rodeo Hall and Wall of Fame. I hope I will see you at their big banquet. It's going to be incredible. What an honor. Some people have asked me, Aaron, did you rodeo? Well, other than a few goat ropes in Iraq and Afghanistan, no, this is actually a media award. For the first time ever, you can check out the story and figure out how to get tickets. Go to MontanaTalks.com for that and more.
Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Time now for a legislative update brought to you by the Montana Family Foundation. Here's President of the Montana Family Foundation and former Speaker Pro Tem of the Montana House of Representatives, Jeff Laszlocki.
After digging in his heels and crying foul, a Missoula District Court judge yesterday succumbed to pressure and recused himself from a case in which he arguably displayed judicial bias. It all began several weeks ago, as we reported, when Attorney General Austin Knutson filed a motion to force District Court Judge Shane Vanetta to recuse himself from a case involving transgender use of private spaces, including restrooms and locker rooms. Vanetta, Montana's only openly homosexual judge, is seen by many on the right as an advocate for LGBT causes, who regularly uses his seat on the bench to push a woke political agenda. Mysteriously, in recent years, case after case involving sexual orientation and gender identity have landed in Judge Vanetta's courtroom, where he predictably and dependably rules in favor of the left. Not surprising, since he sat on the American Bar Association's Commission on Sexual Orientation and Gender Identity. In that role, he was an active advocate for the LGBT community. In his motion to recuse, Attorney General Knutson cited the Montana Code of Judicial Conduct, which states that judges should maintain the dignity of judicial office at all times and avoid both impropriety and the appearance of impropriety in their professional and personal lives. The complaint then went on to list several instances from Judge Vanetta's social media accounts where they allege he crossed the line from impartiality into advocacy. In one instance, the Attorney General points to an article in Time magazine entitled "Gender Laws Are at Odds with Science." The gist of the article, in the opinion of its author, is that the legal recognition of only two biological sexes is incongruous with science. Vanetta shared that article on his Facebook page, said the article was a fascinating article written by a California judge, and then liked comments that agreed with the article's perspectives. In his response to the Attorney General's allegations, Vanetta wrote that after, quote, deconstructing the state's allegations, an average person would likely not reasonably question Judge Vanetta's lack of bias or prejudice in the subject case. The quote-unquote facts alleged by the state attempting to show Judge Vanetta's personal bias or prejudice are exceedingly thin, end quote. Remember, this is Judge Vanetta writing in the third person about himself. On the contrary, I would argue, based on the evidence presented by the Attorney General and on the logic and wording of Judge Vanetta's rulings in similar cases, that an average person would find plenty of reasons to question Judge Vanetta's claims of judicial impartiality. Back for a moment to the Montana Code of Judicial Conduct, which says that a judge shall disqualify himself or herself in any proceeding in which the judge's impartiality might reasonably be questioned. As mentioned earlier, it's not simply an act of impropriety, but the mere appearance of impropriety that should lead to recusal. I would argue that in this case, we have both actual and perceived impropriety. The judge then goes on to intimate that he is particularly well qualified to oversee this case simply because he's homosexual, saying, quote, Judge Vanetta brings a wealth of experience to the bench. Such experience may be different than that brought to the bench by other heterosexual members of the bench. However, such experience does not presume bias or prejudice, absent some statement or conduct. After listing all of the reasons that the recusal was not justified, Judge Vannetta did the right thing and recused himself. Hopefully, we'll get a truly impartial judge to replace him. For the Montana Family Foundation, this is Jeff Laszlofy reminding you that this government is your government, and your input does make a difference.
Contact the Montana Family Foundation at 406-628-1141 or on the web at montanafamily.org.
Wow, that was some big breaking news there from Jeff Laszlofy about this far-left LGBTQ activist judge finally forced to recuse himself from this women's privacy case in Missoula in state district court. That's very interesting, because wasn't it Attorney General Austin Knutson who led the charge to call for him to recuse himself from that case? And by the way, I haven't seen that story anywhere else yet. It wasn't on X by any of the news sources. I don't see it on the Missoulian, so break.
Some people won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, could potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
I'm Scarlett Johansson. My family relied on public assistance to help provide meals for us. These meals help fuel my love for acting. When people are fed, futures are nourished. Join the movement to end hunger at feedingamerica.org/act now. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.